So to get started, I'm going to make a confession to you. This is Solomon's confession in Ecclesiastes, so I'm going to make a confession to you. I am always losing my keys. Always. Like, it doesn't really seem to matter if I'm home for 30 minutes or 30 hours. There is about an 83% chance, if I set them down, that I will not be able to find them again when it's time to leave. 83%. I think the math has actually been done in my house. Not by me, by my wife. She asked me, she's like, how are you always losing your keys? Actually, I really don't know. I don't know. Probably the reason why I lose them, right? I mean, they end up under a stack of papers or behind a basket or my personal favorite, when I go outside to look in the yard to see if I dropped them on the way in or if they're in my car and I open the front door and the jingle because they're still in the lock. I'm always losing. I think the easiest thing in the world for me to lose is my keys. I think. That's my confession. Now, how about yours? What's your easiest thing to lose? How many key losers are in the room? How many key losers are in the room? All right? Yeah, okay, put your hands down. How about your glasses? Anybody ever, like, lost your glasses and then had somebody point them out on your head? Yeah. Have you ever made it through a whole tube of through a whole tube of chapstick without losing it? It's gone. Socks in the lawn. Anybody lose socks all the time? Some ladies are like, I love those socks. Yeah. Ever lost your spouse in the mall? Whoops. Guess I'm going to have to go to Best Buy. Sorry. Lose your children. Yeah. I read an article this week from about the New York City Metro system and the most common items that are lost in the MTA metro system in New York. And this is a crazy list. So it might be too small for you to read it. But they actually put the list up on, like, updated all the time. So at 12:45 on Friday afternoon, do you know what the most lost item in New York City on the subways is? You see it up at the top? Cell phones. 31,000 cell phones are in the metro lost and found in New York City right now. Like, if you need a phone, might be a good place to start. You're going to walk in. What did you lose? I'm looking for a cell phone. An iPhone. It's black. Right? Yeah. There's actually some really interesting things on this list. Like, about 6 or 7 up from the bottom, 4,500 pants, trousers, or shorts. And then up almost to the bottom, 1,890 pairs of underwear, which if that's you, I would recommend just leaving them there. Seriously, though, there is something that we actually lose more than all those things. We lose it more than our keys and our glasses, even our cell phones. Okay, you know what it is? We lose our joy, don't we? Always losing our joy. It is universal. Like, we have a conversation with someone and we walk away and our joy is gone. We've lost it. Right? We get a text message and it pops up. It doesn't even fill our screen, just the top and the name. I mean, you can even look at a person and lose your joy. And right then a person's face flashed in front of your eyes. It may have been your boss, I don't know. Okay. We lose our joy all the time, don't we? How often do you lose your joy? Like, when's the last time? Probably this morning when you couldn't find the new location, right? Oh, I'm going to be late. Oh, I'm frazzled. Ah, joy's gone. You lost it last night. You lost it yesterday afternoon. We're constantly losing our joy. Our joy is easier to lose than a tube of chapstick, isn't it? But God doesn't want it to be that way. God wants us to live in this true, lasting, abiding joy. Psalm 100 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Somebody said sadness. No. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. A joyful heart, Proverbs says, is good medicine. The Apostle Paul, he prays and he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him. God wants you to enjoy your life. I wonder, do you enjoy life? Look at what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. Look at it with me. He says this. He says, light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Life is good, Solomon says. And it's pleasant. The word pleasant there is used in the Old Testament in reference to honey. How many of you like honey? Anybody like honey? I love honey. Okay, I love it. I actually have honey pretty much every day. So I do my work week at a coffee shop downtown. Those of you that know me, you know I like to keep office hours at the Salt Lake Roasting Company. Okay, so I got a couple tables up there. They're mine. If you take it, look out. There will be blood. Okay? But I pay rent to Salt Lake Roasting Company by drinking tea. That's how I pay rent for the internet and the power that I use on a regular basis. So I drink a lot of tea, and I drink this tea. It's called yerba mate. I love it. It's like this natural energy tea. Anybody ever had it before? You should try it. It's amazing. It's magic, okay? It's made of branches. I love it. I think I love it. I think I love it. I might actually just like the taste of honey because of how much I squeeze out of that little bear that they have. So I pay for the tea, and then I use all their honey. It's kind of a sad thing. But what Solomon is saying is this. He's saying life is good, and we're supposed to savor it like we savor the sweetness of honey. Like, we catch glimpses of this sometimes. Like, not all the time, but we do. We catch glimpses of the sweetness and goodness of life, don't we? Like, the days where you wake up 5 minutes before your alarm, and both your nostrils work, and your knees don't hurt, and your back doesn't hurt, and your relationships are all good, and you just wake up, and you get in your car, and you're like, where's the music? And so you crank up something fun, and you roll the windows down, and you're just like, I love this. Yeah. Do you realize that God made our world to be that way? God made our world to be enjoyed. Like, enjoy it. Look around and find the joy that God has built in, and that is exactly what Solomon is saying, which may surprise you, right? Like, read the book. This is Solomon, is this you? Like, what are you talking about? Because you have done a lot of talk about injustice and death and hatred and evil and suffering and pain, and now you're just like, life is good. I'm having a little trouble understanding that, right? You know, actually, I think him talking about all of those things and then coming to the end of the book and saying, actually, you know, life is good, it actually gives him authority to say those things. So one commentator, his name's Leland Ryken, he says this, as in all great literature, Solomon affirms the right. He earns the right to talk about the positives in life because he has done justice to the negatives of life. Like, in other words, Solomon has been there, done that, and lived to tell about it. And you know what he says at the end of all of that? You know what life is about? Life is about joy. It is. But not like a joy that's superficial. Not like a joy that's built on circumstances. Joy that is lasting and abiding. I wonder, do you want lasting joy? Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Someone says, I want to show you how to find it. Actually, 17 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about joy. Also, you know this, there's one Old Testament book that the Jewish people read every year at their Feast of Tabernacles. Do you know what it is? You could just take a guess because we're kind of in it. It's Ecclesiastes, right? Why? Because Solomon is giving us a realistic picture of joy. It's not based on circumstances. He's pushing us towards a joy that is true and lasting and strong enough to stand up whenever life pressures it. So Solomon is going to teach us about joy today, and he's going to say this. What is essential? What do you have to have? What is essential to really, really enjoy life? He's going to give us three things, and these three things don't stand alone. They all kind of build on each other. You could think of it like a three-legged stool. So the three-legged stool of joy that Solomon wants us to sit on, what are the three essentials? And like a good preacher, he actually calls himself a preacher in the book. Like a good preacher, they're alliterated in the English. So they're alliterated in your Bible. There are three R's. So Solomon the preacher is going to give us the three essentials of joy, and here they are. They are that we are to rejoice, remove, and remember. How do you